we have New Brighton-based bluesman Ash Grunwald in the studio. He's heading back to Mullum Civic Hall for the first time since last year's floods for a night of foot stomping, guitar plucking, rootsy sounds. He's acknowledged as one of Australia's most successful blues musicians, and he's doing a tour of his new album, which is called Bluesfest Studio Sessions. It was recorded at the Brooklet Studios in Nyuribah, and the man himself is here with me in the studios with his guitar. Ash, welcome to Road Trip.
Howdy, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so pleased you've brought your guitar. It's a beautiful looking instrument.
Oh, yeah, this is a National Steel guitar.
Oh, well, made famous by Paul Simon in the song Mississippi Delta was shining
like a National Steel guitar. Yeah. Yes, there you go. I was thinking, what? He didn't play that. Oh, yeah.
That one. So where'd you get that fabulous piece of equipment?
Well, I play a lot of different National Steels. Like I was probably most known for playing the big metal ones that I've played for many years, but this is like a little travel one. So I've got three trusty Nationals that I use, but got a bit of a guitar collection going. I'm not too, for somebody who's done it for so long, I don't have 8 billion guitars, but I have a few.
I love that you've got some sort of letter set stuck on it saying P130.
Oh, the P90.
Isn't that letter set? You used to get this thing and punch in the letters and...
Yeah, I think over the years, like all my gear, I have different techs doing stuff and then they, you know, do certain things to them and then you forget who did what and your guitars just evolve over the years.
You used to be a techie yourself, didn't you, for Xavier Rudd?
Yeah, I did do that for a little while. I wasn't really a techie, just a friend helping out, really, like... in the start of things, you know, probably going back to about the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Xavier when we lived in Victoria and he used to get me sometimes to do his tuning. Yeah, which is pretty awesome. But yeah.
And you've traveled with him as well on tour through the US?
Yeah. I did a support, as a support, yeah. Not as a tech.
Not as a tech.
Really need to point that out for the audience out there. Yeah, we did that about 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah, that was awesome. Great, great little tour, that one.
And life on the road, do you love it or do you hate it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I have a family and as you mentioned, I do live in New Brighton, so it's hard to be away from home because it's awesome.
Yeah, and you surf too.
Yeah, and I surf, so it's a difficult thing. I did a tour about 3 weeks ago where I was down like the New South Wales coast, and then I had a tour the next week in Melbourne, and I just drove it. And when I do that, I love touring, and I actually like doing the driving and the road trip, and then, you know, when you've got your van and you can sleep in it, you leave after the gig and, you know, wake up and surf in the morning at a different location. You've always got somewhere in mind. And that is, you know,
Green
for me,
Island.
That's living the dream. Yeah, that's
nice.
Living the dream for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So tell us about this album. It was the set that you played at Bluesfest this year, but you recorded it in the studio at
Nyuribah. Yeah, and I mean, like these days... I've been doing the one-man band thing for the last couple of years. That's sort of how I made my name originally, just doing one-man band stuff. And the only time I've played in a band was when I was rehearsing for Bluesfest, and it was cancelled once a year for 3 years or something. And then
that's
doing
right.
Bluesfest.
Yeah.
And so I just really wanted to document that. It's like my favourite little three-piece with Bobby Alou on drums. And he's singing on Ain't No Sunshine, that we actually put that out together as a single.
Beautiful song.
Yeah. Well, I love Bill Withers. He's so amazing. And, yeah, that's a good one. And then my friend Ian Perez, who's played in a lot of really good bands. Like, he played with Xavier as well, but also Wolf Mother, and he's playing with Bernard Fanning and all sorts of people, the Whitlams. So, yeah, they're just two monstrous musicians. So... this album was really just about the interplay between us.
Right.
Mm.
And what about the tracks that you chose for the album, for the set originally? But how was there an overarching kind of guiding principle to what you were going to put down?
Yeah, well, you want it to be up and festive mainly, and just, you know, it's sort of like, so I've recorded 12 studio albums, so it's like my wish list of like, oh, what would be really fun to play with these bands since I've got these guys, what, you know, for this gig, or, you know, what would the ultimate be? And then just after rehearsals and stuff, I was just loving the sound of it and thinking that it was unrepeatable. And like I say, both guys they're doing their own thing most of the time. So it's just a special thing. Once in a while we come together, and that's why I wanted to document that. Yeah.
And so you've been sober for years now, haven't you? You kind of went off the grog, and how has that influenced the way you play, the way you approach your music now?
Oh, massively. I mean, you know, being such a road dog, you know, just I play so much and travel so much. And, yeah, I was always drinking when I was playing, drinking a lot and drinking while I was traveling and, you know, drinking in between. You know, it's just so many opportunities and so much waiting around in music. Mm. And that's what really tires you out, is just traveling, waiting, you're in venues all the time, you know. So just making that decision not to drink, and it sort of had to be an absolute. It can't really be like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll have one occasionally, because you're just around it all the time, you know. Mm. So
want a beer, mate, want a beer. People are forcing it on you pretty much.
Yeah, and
in that culture.
It is. And it's funny because, like, now, like, my decision is, like, for myself, and I still play to people. They might be letting their hair down on a weekend and whatever, and it's awesome, you know, for them, you know.
Mm.
So, but for me, it's definitely better this way, and I just feel like I'm more fresh on stage, which is an irony, because I feel like when I first started drinking, you know, having a few drinks, getting in the spirit, getting loose, you know, partying as such, maybe at the start it was like that, but in the end it makes you more it's sort of dragging you down a little bit, making you just like feel like a bit of a seedy old rock dog rather than you're not really the life of the party, you know. So I think there's, you know, things are good in certain eras and then they get old in other eras, and then, you know, for me now, you know, I don't know, like meditating or doing like breathing, or, you know, that's more new and interesting, and, you know, like doing things that contribute to your longevity are more interesting to me now.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask you also about your support of the environment movement, and I know that you were active up in this region when the whole McGasco fiasco was going down at Bentley. Yeah. How important is it to you to, you know, make a stand for the environment, for what you believe in?
Mm. Yeah, well, that was a really big one. And one thing, I actually, so at the Bentley blockade and stuff, I helped organise the musicians, and I saw a photo on my computer the other day, and we had a band. I had me and then Cram on drums from Spiderbait and Scotty from The Living End on bass, and then we played a set as us, and then we played as a backing band for Pete Murray. And then Andrew Stockdale took my guitar, and then he played. So, as you know, they were playing Wolf Mother songs. It was so awesome, just a tiny little thing. And there's a few different things we were involved in, but it was really good. And I really thought, I was really involved in that, thinking, oh, well, it's obvious we're not going to win here, but we'd really need to win. And if Byron can't do it, no one can do it. So it's important that we do have a win, but it probably won't happen, but I'll just cleanse my conscience and help out where I can and whatever. And then we did. And I was like, wow. And, I, you know, there's so many different parts to that. But, I mean, I think the old school activism of the hardcore people, like chaining themselves into those pipes and stuff where they had to be jackhammered out, I think, you know, that's where it hit them in the hip pocket and actually made a change. And I just thought that was amazing that works.
I know. It was an inspiration power, to everyone fighting coal and gas and extractive industries around the country. So thank you for your work there. And you've brought the guitar in. So you want to play us a song, perhaps?
Yes. Well, it'll be the very much the acoustic side of the equation.
Beautiful.
Let me just adjust this. Yeah, we might need more volume, I think. Or is that good? I don't think my headphones are working.
Okay, well, you're peeking out here on the desk, okay. So all is well.
That was funny. My headphones weren't on that whole time, so I was probably shouting. Sorry, everybody. They were acting more as earmuffs than sound. Went out to Bentley, see what was going on. When I went on the Bentley to see what's going on, I could see why they tried to divide us, 'cause when we get together we are strong. That was just a little bit of made up stuff before.
Love it. Love it. It's great. Thank you.
This is a little song that keeps wind in your sails when you are trying to make a positive difference.
Yeah.
A little bit of a hillbilly vibe.
I like it. I like it.
Now, sometimes I act like a fool, with those dark clouds of worries inside. When we live small lives that are way too short, and we don't even know the reason why. You gotta stop taking life so serious. Stop taking life so serious. Stop taking life so serious. You don't even know what you have. Sometimes I worry about the future. Are we ever gonna find our way? I don't even realize that we're living in the good old days. I told you, stop taking life so serious. Stop taking life so serious. Stop taking life so serious. You don't even know what you have. Stuck just like Harold died, and got carried up desire in your head. Now your heart feels just like a bowling ball. Have you listened to a word I said? I told you, stop taking life so serious. Stop taking life so serious. Stop taking life so serious. You don't even know what you have.
Yeehaw, Ash Grunwald, that is amazing. Stop taking life so serious. Yeah, I guess, you know, when we are in battle with major fossil fuel companies, things get a little heavy, a little serious. What prompted that song?
That's exactly it. Yeah, well, that is exactly it. I don't think we're most effective at creating change when we get stuck in negativity. And I do think it's possible and probably necessary for sanity to actually, you know, make serious change but never take yourself seriously at the same time. I think you can hold both, you know, both things simultaneously in your mind.
Yeah, that kind of tranquility, that equilibrium or the equanimous state is what we're all trying to strive for, but we all get torn and pulled in different directions with our fears and our desires.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure with kids, you have a lot of, you know, anxiety around them growing up and the world they're facing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about that song because I wrote that song a very long time ago, and society was different when I wrote it. And, you know, probably the best line in there is that I don't even realize that we're living in the good old days. Because a friend of mine, a guy I met down at Ulla Dulla, I gave him a lift to Sydney once, and he told me, you know, he's a young guy and we were talking about surfing and, you know, like, oh, you know, this place, it's crowded now, but it used to be good. They reckon it was good in the 70s, all that kind of talk.
Mm.
He's like, there'll be high rises here one day. These are our good old days. So we've got to get out there and live our good old days. And yeah, you just do not know what the future holds. And you really, only thing you really do have is now. You know, it's definitely sounds like a cliche, but and it is a cliche, but it's true. And
the that's power all of you now. Have.
Yeah. And I do love the power of now.
It's great.
Yeah. It's the powerful. Only real thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really are striving to make the world a better place, that's awesome and admirable. But like, you know, especially with particular dystopian scenarios that may or may not be out there, it's, you need to keep your sanity, you know.
Mm.
And I do think humor is a good thing, you know, just to hold things lightly, even hold opinions lightly, and be, you know, ready to just do 100%, you know, a 180 on any belief you may or may not have, because, you know, new facts come to light. And I think you can be logical and open if you have that lightness about you. And that's what I strive for. It doesn't always come naturally. Like sometimes, you know, the more and more you look into things, you can get really heavy. But I do think that that's positive for your mental sanity. Yeah, for your sanity.
It's about 20 years now since a shark tried to get stuck into you, and you were you were kind of had an amazing experience with some dolphins.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just tell us about that? I don't know. I just love that story. It'd be great to hear it from you.
Well, people don't believe me that the dolphin song happened, but as the story, because it's a comedy song, but as the story goes, which is what did happen in Phillip Island in Victoria, is the guy I was with saw a shark under me, so it's not me who saw the shark, and he swore that it wasn't a dolphin and it wasn't anything else, and it was coming towards me, and then we were just freaking out. We didn't know what to do. We were a long way out. And then we were surrounded by dolphins, and he was like, he swore that we were rescued, literally, and I was the skeptic and just kept questioning him all the way home, but he really did stick to his story. And then I heard other stories like that as well. And that's what really prompted me to do the song. And I just think whales and dolphins are so amazing. There's so many stories of that kind of thing happening. And obviously after doing the song for 20 years, I get a lot of stories firsthand from people, and they're amazing. You know, one lady told me when she was pregnant, she was drowning and a dolphin pushed her out, or pushed her back into in a rip.
And, amazing creatures. And as surfers, you know, we get to experience them close up.
Yeah.
In this place, almost daily. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just awesome. I mean, we're pretty lucky around here. It's teeming with life, isn't it? The sea. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And you spoke with a lot of surfers when you were doing your book Surf by Day, Jam by Night in 2019. People like Stephanie Gilmore, musicians as well. I didn't know Stephanie Gilmore was a musician.
Yeah, she rips on guitar.
Yeah.
She's really good. She plays guitar like somebody who's really good at something. You know what I mean? Like it's you think, wow, you're really amazing. And then you think, well, why should I be amazed? Because people who are good at one thing, they know how to apply themselves and they probably get obsessed and they know how to really work away at something and they're probably not too happy until they're good at it, you know.
Yeah.
And you can really see that in her.
And is that the same for you?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a very good surfer. I try to be. But yeah, I try. I like to get good at things, but I don't know how, yeah. I'm not at that level of those. That was the interesting thing for me because that was the year I quit drinking as well, and I was going through a lot of changes. So then to talk to even some woo-woo stuff I spoke to Steph about, and it really set me on a really good path. I was so inspired. And then she won another world title after that, after I interviewed her. And
what sort of woo-woo stuff are you talking about?
The woo-woo stuff, the M word.
Here I
are people
am.
Try to guess what the M word is?
The M word.
I feel still guilty after this, but the manifesting word.
Oh, the manifesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, I do really think, you know, I was really getting into it at the time and I do think it was very helpful for me. And the interview with Steph was very helpful because she was like, it wasn't weird to her. Like I guiltily said that word, like I'm guiltily saying it to you, but she wasn't weird about that at all. And
this is probably what we do.
Yeah.
We manifest.
Yeah. Mm. And
the law of attraction.
Yeah. Well, she really, yeah. I mean, she had done that. And she continued to do that. And then you can say, wow, yeah, there's a bit more that goes into it than, you know, just, yeah. Yeah, there is a bit more that goes into it.
A little bit of work.
Yeah, there is.
A little bit of sweat.
But she does recall, you know, thinking, yeah, I'm going to win that trophy. And long before she had, you know, her first world title. But, yeah, it did really set me on a path, that interview with her. And I did learn a lot about that and just, you know, it's so great when you're in one of those periods of your life where you are in positive habits, and especially like, you know, things like just daily writing something down, like the journaling, different journaling practices and whatever, that really steers you on a path and you get to this unstoppable kind of level sometimes. And you know, I at that time after that I got to achieve some of the things that I was trying to achieve, which was awesome.
Oh, good on you. What an inspiration. Mm. Thank you so much.
It is.
For sharing.
Oh, cool. Thanks for reminding me about it.
Do you have another song in you for us? Or
always. If you want.
Let's do it. We've got a bit of time up our sleeve because our This Week in Cyberspace is not happening this week.
Oh, okay. Right.
Cyberspace is down. Blackouts.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay. Let's go for some
bluesy,
rootsy sounds.
Yeah. We'll be humans 1.0 and just, awesome. Just playing a guitar.
I love it.
When you're down and out, give something away. Down and out, give some. When you're down and out, give something away. Ooh. When you're worried about your heart, give something away. Worried about your heart, give some. When you're worried about your heart, give something away. Find a friend, give something away. Can't find a friend, give some. When you can find a friend,
give something away. Oh, 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 oh.
Whoa, Ash Grunwald, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us and playing for us. What a treat.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.